For the scripture reading, I chose Ecclesiastes 3, which is the sermon text. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1 to 15. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him, that which is or has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So far, reading of the Holy Word of God. If you look at the bulletin, God appointed everything in his time. Different people might have different numbers there. So I have 2 points of sermon, but it could be rich as a 4 points of sermons. So, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, time flies. I remember last year, prayer day service, remember standing here in this pulpit, preaching on Ecclesiastes chapter 1. To be honest, I don't remember what I preached. I know it was last year, April, and now it's another year. Thinking back what happened this past year, especially last winter, seemed like this winter was going to last for forever. But winter goes, spring comes, spring will go, and summer will come. And then fall and the winter again. Farmers, they know this really well. Farmers are very sensitive to seasons. Farmers are looking forward to the harvesting season. It's the same with everyone. Myself, minister. Ministers become so sensitive at the end of every week. Yet ministers, they look forward to Sunday morning to preach God's word. It's the same with the students. They become so anxious, nervous before exam time every season. Yet they look forward to the end of the exam and also the summer break. Every year, every month, every day, every moment, everyone works at their places, work site. We say, busy, busy, busy. Some of us are so busy that we just realize that it's just already April. And brothers and sisters, speaking of season, did you know that there was one particular promise in the Old Testament that God gave to all of us that with regards to seasons? That is written in Genesis 8. At the end of Genesis 8, God said to Noah, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done." And then the Lord made covenant with Noah and his children, his offspring, which is us. He said, "While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." So as long as there's a history, these seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, cold and heat, planting, harvesting, this will not stop. So what does that mean? Well, that passage, that promise of the covenant, tells us that we are enjoying the changes of the seasons because God is being gracious to us. The fact that there is a constant change of seasons is a great proof that God is up there, postponing his judgment, in the same time being gracious to us. But in reality, we are so busy with working, studying, teaching, doing housework, that sometimes we don't really realize or we don't think about the greatness of God, his promise in Genesis 8. So the theme and the points of the sermon, it's this: God appointed everything in its time to make us sensitive to its season, to know him, also to be sensitive to its reasons. This is the first point, to be sensitive to its seasons. So the Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon. He introduced himself as preacher. "To everything there is a season, the preacher said. So if you look at the list of Ecclesiastes 3 there, many lists of many things that he mentioned, a time to be born and a time to die. Of course, there is a time to welcome a newborn baby. Grandpa and grandma and parents and uncles and aunties, they are so glad to see this newborn baby. Everyone wants to hold the baby, and of course it gives a great joy. Yet, the preacher said, there's also time to die. There's a time to say goodbye. Everyone gets old, vulnerable, susceptible to illnesses. Everything will breathe his or her last breath. Everybody knows that everyone will eventually die someday. It is sad, but that is the truth. So when the time comes, it is the time for the family members to say goodbye and give a final hug. A time to plant and time to pluck what is planted. Spring is here. Spring comes. New season, new semester, new job, new location, new people. And you plant your new plant. You plant your seed. You sow with expectation. You invest money and time with hope of the future. Yet, there is a time to pluck what is planted. Maybe you don't like it, but that happens. Because sometimes the plants don't go as we expected. Sometimes we have to stop what we were doing. For instance, You thought perhaps you're going to be a teacher. You got into a teacher's college, but later you realized it's not the path that you wanted to go all of a sudden. So you stopped going to your school. You wanted to be a mechanic, but something didn't work out. So you have to quit. There's time to plant, but there's a time to pluck things out. Whether we like it or not, that happens. A time to kill and time to heal, same thing. There's always war. There's a peace. War is over. Enemies become friends. A time to cast away stones and time to gather stones. Time to gain, time to lose. Time to tear and time to sow. Time to keep silence and time to speak. Well, looking at all these events, don't you think it's very interesting? Isn't this so practical that the author, Solomon, names all these things? No matter who you are, no matter what you believe in your life, these are the seasons that you will face. Whether you are believer, whether you are unbeliever, this is what happens under the sun to everyone. So here is the little side note that we can write on our sermon note if you're taking notes. When you encounter your neighbors, co-workers, or friends who do not go to church, sometimes we feel awkward because we don't know how to bring the gospel. We don't know what to talk about. We don't want to talk about differences because we don't want to be awkward. But we want to find something in common to talk about, such as weather. However, after reading this passage, we realize that we can talk about changing of seasons. Why? Because all the events that are recorded in this chapter, the preacher mentioned, apply to everyone under the sun. Time to laugh, time to weep, time to gain and time to lose, time to love and time to hate. Then we ask, what is the purpose of all of these? What is the lesson that we can learn from all these events? Well, first preacher tells us that there are these contrasts, different seasons. The preacher wants us to recognize that there are seasons. Well, what does that mean by recognizing seasons? Well, it's very simple. You just do the right thing at the right time. When you need to plant a seed, you plant not in winter, but in spring. When you harvest them, you harvest them not before or after the right time or harvesting season. You harvest the crops when they have fruits. When you need to study, you need to study. When you need to work, you need to work. When you need to come to church, you need to come to church. As simple as that. There's always timing and the right place and the right seasons. Second, it also means that we should be sensitive to changing of seasons. And we have to be sensitive. Sometimes different people are in different seasons. Let me give you some examples. In Mark 2, people asked Jesus, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is still with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. So what Jesus is saying is that there is time in the right place. It's not the time for Jesus to weep at the time. That time will come because the bridegroom will be taken away. So we can apply this in our congregational life. Because, as we see, people are at different stages of life and different seasons. Let's say one couple had a miscarriage, and another couple just had a child. It could be very sensitive, and you have to be discerned wisely what to say and what not to say. Two people in the same congregation applied for the same job. One person got in, and the other didn't. You can congratulate one person, but you can say some words of comfort to the other. Yet, you have to be careful, be tactful, because different people are in different seasons. As Solomon talks about time to speak and time to be silent. Let's say someone's brother and sister committed suicide. And what you want to do, of course, give us some comforting words. Not to talk about how horrible suicide is, of course. There's a time to embrace and time to refrain from embracing. There are things that we can embrace, yet there are things that we cannot embrace. For example, I say there's a woman who had an abortion. We can embrace the person who regrets what she has done. We can show the love of Christ, but we cannot embrace abortion. Because the idea behind is not something that we can embrace. Again, the preacher wants us to be aware of those events, seasons, and be sensitive about it. Act wisely depending on the season. Different people may be going through different things. Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." And that's what Jesus did when he was on this earth. John 11, 35. When Jesus went to see Lazarus, who died, the people said to him, "Lord, come and see the gravesite." And then, this one verse, very short verse, says, Jesus wept. He wept with his people. So, becoming sensitive to season can be a great evangelism tool. When your neighbor is sad and mourns, be with them, be friends with them. Who knows? You may have opportunity to talk about the purpose. Why? Which comes in the second point. They may open their hearts to you, and you may have an opportunity to explain why all these things are happening and who is in control of all of these. Brothers and sisters, speaking of seasons, in the Bible, there are changes of seasons in the Bible, which is the redemptive history. We know that especially when you read from Book of Hebrews or at the end of Revelation. There was a change from Old Testament and a New Testament. Hebrews 8:6, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, and as much as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which has established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." So what is saying is the Old Testament rituals clean and unclean distinctions, ceremonial laws, and temple, the Old Testament temple, they were all about Christ. Christ came, changing of season in the redemptive history. Now there will be another change of season from the New Testament to the end of time. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, "Now I saw new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea." Verse 4 of Revelation 21 says like this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." So again, there's a change of season at the end of time. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, because those things belong to the past. So what does that mean to us? When we look at through the lens of Ecclesiastes 3, that means as Christians, being sensitive to seasons, that means we be sensitive to the flow of the redemptive history. The application is very simple. That means we believe what is going to happen in the next season. And then we act accordingly. I say, there's a summer, a fall, and the winter is coming. And then you know there will be snowstorm. And then you got to act accordingly. You have to prepare. It's the same thing here. Last judgment will come. There will be a new heaven and new earth will come. Certainly, change of season. That means we look forward to the coming of Christ. Compare the Christian life with ungodly lifestyles. People who do not believe in the last judgment, they say something like, "Today we eat and drink, get drunk, get into the party, do crazy things, and we die tomorrow." But that's not the responsible life. That's not the life that the preacher is want us to live. Live responsibly. Preacher said in our text, verse 15, "That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past." Responsible life. That's what God wants us to do. And this leads to the second point, to be sensitive to its reason. The preacher reveals the reason why all these various things happen in the right time. We find that in the next verse, in verse 11 and verse 14. Verse 11, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God does from beginning to end." Verse 14, "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it." So first, verse 11, "He has made everything beautiful in his time." God arranged everything in his time. God is perfect. Therefore, the preacher said, it is beautiful in its time. In its time, that's the key word. There are songs that you can sing in the wedding. There are songs that we sing in the worship service. There are songs that we sing in the funeral service. They are all beautiful and in its time and its place. Grandpa takes his grandson on his lap, in his tractor, showing how things work. I saw that in Winnipeg. Nathaniel had a great time. And the grandson was very impressed, amazed by this big machine. in his time. He enjoyed his time with his grandpa. But it doesn't work, if you can imagine. If grandpa takes his grandchild on his lap, on his tractor, on Highway 401. It's not beautiful at all. It's dangerous. Even in a depressing time, God put beautiful things here and there. And if I may share my experience with the visit that I recently had with Mr. Velikov, I saw Mr. Velikov, Brother Velikov, was playing a little game with Mrs. Velikov. It looks like it was some kind of Dutch game, Dutch words. Although his time on this earth was limited, they could still enjoy and cherish the time together, which God has granted them in his time. So when I came, I didn't want to disturb them. I watched, and Mrs. Velikov noticed me, and she quickly took away the game. And I said, no, I don't want to disturb you. You can still finish. I can wait. I can watch. But Mr. Velikov said, it's okay. I was losing anyway. Well, I will never forget that moment, because it's beautiful in that moment, especially knowing that he still has a good sense of humor in his depressing time, which God has given to him. He knows that he's not going to live long, but he can still laugh and also make people laugh. That is beautiful because it is in that perfect time. He also told me a story, how he and his wife met, and that they went to the forest to see a German bunker that was left after the war, which was not, of course, allowed. And he was caught by a police officer. And the police officer decided to send a ticket to his house. As a result, his father knew that he was dating with a girl from another church. His father was very angry at him because at the time, dating with a girl from another church was no-no. So, of course, it's all in the past. Reflecting that moment, you realize how God beautifully arranged all those events and moments. You recall that memory and say, that was a good time, even though my dad was so angry with me. Of course, at the time, he didn't enjoy that moment. He was heavily scolded by his father. But now you reflect and realize how God beautifully put things perfectly in its time. That is why the preacher said, everything is beautiful in its time. And I'm sure everyone sitting here has similar or the same experience. In the past, when I was young and naive, there are things that I worried about, such as, well, am I going to find a job? Am I going to find a husband or a wife? But later, you will recall those days in the future and realize how God put those things in perfectly, in the perfect timing. Even the times of tribulations, challenges, by using that, God makes you more mature. Jesus mentioned something similar. When the mother gives the birth to a child, there is a pain. But after the childbirth, she forgets about the pain. So the expression of the preacher in verse 11 is such a masterpiece. He has made everything beautiful in his time. It also applies when we look at the redemptive history in the Bible. God arranged every event perfectly and beautifully. The birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, for instance. He was born in a very depressing time in Israel. It was the time of oppression since they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. There was constant oppression towards Christianity. Yet, God used the oppression for as his advantage. Acts chapter 8. At the time of great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. As a result, Christianity could spread to all of the world. You see, God even used evil things, persecution, to fulfill his plans. If you look at bottom of verse 11 in our text, it says, also he has put eternity in their hearts, except no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. If you think about it, time is, some people say time is relative, but also time is something that is very constant. Time does not wait for you. Time doesn't stop. Time goes on. We speak of the past, present, and future. But if you really think about it, even in this moment, this present does not stay. The present becomes the past immediately. Do you know what that means? That means everything is running toward its end. Yet, verse 11 says, he has put eternity in their hearts. That's the longing in man's heart. Even though we know there is an end, we always wish there's more. We wish that we had a little bit more of money, a little bit more of time. Even those who say there's no such thing as afterlife, they also fear death. They wish they could live a little bit longer. Except that no one can find out the work of God does from beginning to end. So everything longs for eternity. Everything wants, wish that they had a little bit more of time. They have a concept of this eternity. Even those who say there's no such thing as afterlife, they fear when they're about to die because they are uncertain about the end. Uncertainty. We don't like that word, do we? We do not know when our life is, how and when our life is going to end. Not everyone enjoys this word uncertainty. Such a fearful term. But that's just how that works. Everything is going to end. Horrible things happen. Well, it happens. And the lesson that we can learn from this, the reason, is part of the reason, that man cannot add anything and take anything from it, is unavoidable. It's unstoppable. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. Snowstorm comes and it will be severe, but we don't know when it's going to be over. Even with the medical technology, someone has a cancer and we don't know how long he's going to live. And the preacher reminds us of who we are and who God is. By contrasting these events and reminding us the fact that we cannot change anything of these. God does it and man should fear before him. That is the reason. To show us that everything is in God's control and we should fear him. We should recognize God. There's a reason why God did not let us know our ends. I talked about this with the Mr. Velikov. You can imagine. Imagine there's a world that everyone knows when he or she is going to die. What do you think is going to happen? Well, there's a movie about it. Let's imagine there's a clock that shows that you're going to die in such day. That world will be very chaotic. People are not going to work. People are going to enjoy. There's no law enforcement. And that's not how God wants us to live. We don't know when we are going to die. Man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, God wants us to live responsibly and trust Him that He will direct our steps. Changing of seasons, regardless how fast you feel that it's changing, our duty is first recognize Him, fear Him, because we don't know, but He knows. In the same time, live responsibly. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we read from the passage that we learned, that everything is in your control, yet we confess that you are our good Father. You're not a cold-hearted dictator, but you are our Father. So when we cry out to you, that we know you listen to us. When we repent, we know that you will embrace us. Teach us and instruct us. Give us your wisdom so that we may know when to speak, when to stop, when to embrace and when to refrain from embracing. When to work and when to rest. Also make us fear you, that we may worship you in the way that you want us to worship. We pray that you would bless this congregation. We pray that you would strengthen our faith. Also guide us, also instruct us, so that we may live accordingly and trust you only, so that our faith may be strong. Do not lead us into temptation. We desperately pray that you would deliver us from the evil one. Make us sensitive to the changing of seasons. Make us look forward and anticipate the great feast of the Lamb. And trust, so that we can trust all the more, that whoever abides in you will be victorious. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.